You're listening to Irish Sports Talk. Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 354, here for our Navy preview. Randall's here as well.
Hey, time for the triple option again. The dreaded triple option in Navy.
And to get us started with, I do have a quote, and it's from someone that we may not like all that much, but it is a good quote. It was Nick Saban's birthday a few days ago, and this is a quote from him. "There are two pains in life. There is the pain of discipline and the pain of disappointment. If you can handle the pain of discipline, then you'll never have to deal with the pain of disappointment." Now, while I don't think that's 100% true, it definitely is a good life philosophy to live by. So, Navy is here. We've got some numbers looking at their offense, where it ranks, looking where Notre Dame has been, looking at what Navy has two losses on the season, looking at what the two teams that did beat Navy, what they did well to be victorious over Navy. Before we do that, though, injuries for Notre Dame. Cage, Martini, and McGovern did leave the game early against Miami with going through concussion protocol. But as far as I know, they're expected, I don't know if they're guaranteed, but definitely expected to be back for Navy.
Greer and McGovern did practice yesterday, but they were wearing a red jersey. They were involved in the no contact part of the practice just so they could get their reads and go through the mental part of it, I guess. But they were wearing red jerseys.
Cage and Martini?
Greer and McGovern.
McGovern, okay.
Cage was one day behind them. I guess they do their cardiovascular test is what they call it. He was a day behind because of some academic stuff that he had to do and didn't get a chance to take that. And so he was going to take that yesterday on Tuesday, and then supposedly going to practice today on Wednesday. So Greer and McGovern practice on Tuesday, and hopefully Cage is practicing today. So that doesn't say they'll be back, but it does look hopeful. So, and we're going to need them.
Okay, so who is Navy? I pulled up their ratings. For Football Outsiders has the EFI ratings and the S&P Plus ratings. So offensively, in the FEI ratings, they are number 18th. And comparatively to Notre Dame, this surprised me, Notre Dame is 72nd. And this is just kind of an average. With the S&P Plus rating, their offense is 35th, and Notre Dame's is 53rd. So looking at things a few different ways to come up with those numbers. And it is true, Navy's offense is pretty good. It has been good for several years. I don't think they're as good as they were last year overall as a team. Defensively, they're really bad. They're 103rd by the FEI rating, whereas Notre Dame's 46th, and they're 100th in the S&P Plus, Notre Dame's 31st. So a strong offense and a pretty poor defense.
Yeah, a sign that their offense isn't as good is the passing yards that they're putting up this year. And when Navy is passing, that means that they're not where they want to be.
True. And they definitely are. They're definitely run first, no question. But they're mixing it up a little bit more, especially against better teams, and then even more so if they're falling behind. Here's something that really stood out to me. The S&P Plus has what they call a success rank, and it's basically they look at each set of downs, first and 10, and then whatever, if it's second and whatever it is, basically what your rating is as far as converting for a first down or for a touchdown. And they rank 8th in the country in their success rating. So they do a very good job of getting the yards they need to convert. Notre Dame, on the other hand, is 54th. So,
and Navy's I think Navy's willing to settle for 3-4 yard gains and do it four times in a row, unlike the team that we know so well.
So let's talk a little bit about what has been the problem for Navy when they have been playing teams that they lost to. And I'll just read off. Navy started the season against Fordham. They won that one. They beat Connecticut. They beat Tulane. They lost to Air Force 28-14. And then they beat Houston when Houston was ranked sixth in the country. Now, since then, Houston has kind of fallen away from all that glory. And they're now, they did win that game 46-40. Had a game scheduled against East Carolina that was postponed. They defeated Memphis 42-28. And then they lost to South Florida. And this game was a blowout. The South Florida game, the final score was 52-45, and Navy was driving with a chance to, tie the game. But they just weren't quite able to come up with the win. And they were down 28-0 after the first quarter. So this is just a testament to not giving up and just keep on grinding. The Navy scored 24 points in the fourth quarter. And really made it close when a lot of teams, you know, would have given up.
And as you mentioned, their schedule, they did postpone that one game. And that was due to a hurricane going through the area. So the game was postponed.
Yeah, too bad it didn't affect any other games.
I know. So.
Or one game in particular. I guess it did affect it. I mean, affected in that it would be postponed. Okay, so in the two games that they lost, They threw the ball. They went to the air, and they actually got a lot of yards in the game against Air Force, where they lost 28-14. They passed for 260 yards, and they threw the ball 31 times. And I'll just read off the amount of attempts that they threw the ball in their victories. It was 4, 8, 12, 5, 4. Those are the amount of pass attempts in their victories. In their two losses, they passed 31 times against Air Force for 260 yards, and then last week against South Florida, 27 times for 299 yards. And that's the key. It doesn't matter if Navy can get yards passing the football. You need to keep them from doing what they want to do, which is run the football. That's the only key. I've been supportive and agreeing that Notre Dame's kind of soft coverage, stopping big plays from happening, is a great philosophy, and it has been working the last few weeks. That needs to change against Navy because the run needs to be stopped first and foremost, without question.
Yeah, I agree. So I'll quick throw this in. I was just looking that up for sure about the game being postponed because Navy did beat Houston the same weekend Notre Dame played North Carolina State. But they were playing the next Thursday night, and they postponed the game due to flooding and stuff. So this was like after the hurricane went through. So the after effects were still bad enough to postpone the game. So I just wanted to clarify that because they did play the weekend of the hurricane. It was just the following Thursday. Sorry, I just kind of threw – that was kind of a little rabbit trail there. But
Notre Dame had what appeared to be success last year against Navy. And Georgia Tech, holding Georgia Tech to 22 points and Navy to 24 points. However, if they have a similar game against Navy this year, I don't think they can win. Notre Dame gave up 6.5 yards average to Navy last year. And the only two opponents, and Navy was a better team last year, I definitely believe that. But the only two teams who gave up more yards per rush were Colgate and Tulane. And and here's the other thing. Navy didn't pass on Notre Dame last year.
Which Keenan Reynolds had gotten hurt in that game. He did play, but he didn't play the entire game. So that made a huge difference as well as in their success to run the ball.
And I guess probably also to pass it too. They only attempted 6 passes, and one of those was intercepted. So my point is, I think Notre Dame needs to, if we just play the exact same game this year as we played last year, I'm not very confident that Notre Dame comes away with a win. There needs to be more of an emphasis on selling out to stop the run and then taking our chances with Navy passing the football.
Yeah, and the thing is, they have to change things up a little bit because Navy's good at making adjustments. So Navy saw what Notre Dame did last year. So trust me, they're prepared. If Notre Dame tries that same thing again this year, they will be prepared for it. And the depth comes in as well on this. I mean, Notre Dame came out and looked great. You know, they talked about the swag team last year in preparation for the Navy game. And I guess the swag team is a thing again this year. They've started practicing for the triple option. Brian Kelly said 2 weeks before the bye week. And Bob Elliott is more involved again. Remember last year he did all this scouting before the season, talked with other coaches, you know, and so he is involved again. So they have, you know, resurrected some of the same things that they did in preparation for last year's game.
One thing I noticed, well, if you force Navy to pass, and even if they do make some big plays, that'll still give more opportunities for our offense to score points because
ideally get them off the field.
Yeah, because even if they move the ball a lot, the key is just to keep them from scoring and to keep them from doing what they want to do. And so I would rather give them a few more possessions, whether it's from them scoring quickly versus them scoring slowly, and then also giving our offense a couple more opportunities too to score the football. Because if it's just offense versus offense, or our offense versus their defense and their offense versus our defense, I do think Notre Dame is a better team. I was looking at just some of the play-by-play for some of the different teams that Navy has played this season, and it was shocking. I mean, it was heavy. Run, pass. But in the two games that they lost, there was a lot of times where it was multiple passes in a row, which is just not what they want to do. And part of that is, especially in the game against South Florida jumped up huge, and Navy was just trying to catch up. So that would be a huge help, too, if Notre Dame could just jump up to a couple touchdown lead. Would definitely you know, help out and force Navy to abandon the run.
And as far as their receivers, they have some very big receivers. Their number one receiver their number one guy is Jameer Tillman. He's 6'4", so a tall guy, which is kind of unusual for the Navy team. And actually, one of their other receivers is 6'4" as well. And that is, I didn't even write down his name here. Anyways, he only has 2 receptions on the year. He's not a big pass catcher, but he's very impressive in the running game. I mean, as a blocker. You got a guy that's 6'4", 220 pounds, and that's very good at blocking. That's a scary situation. Let's see, Tyler Carmona it would be the other guy. But 2 receivers that are 6'4". And then looking at their numbers, you know, last week, Tillman, obviously leading receiver, was 76 yards, 4 receptions, 76 yards. And then the other guy is 61, 56, 50. So these guys all had decent numbers, and they have big plays on the receiving end, which was what happens when they run the ball and then have to go to the passing game. I mean, they can burn teams with their long passes. So if they are going to pass, it's usually going to be a big gain. You know, so they have longs of 43, 42, 37, 29, 42, and 14. That's 6 different receivers. So, that's one thing that jumped out at me is the size of some of their receivers.
It's almost like having a tight end out there.
Yeah.
Navy head coach, Coach Ken, had high praise for Notre Dame and his...
You're not going to say his last name?
Nia Malatalolo. High praise for Notre Dame, and said that they're just a great team and they always this isn't verbatim, but they always destroy us when we play them, which is not true. But it just kind of worries me when he has that much respect. I'd much rather have Navy come out with some music video that they did a few years ago about beating Notre Dame.
I forgot about that. But they've only beaten Notre Dame since Brian Kelly's at Notre Dame. They beat him the first year, and then they haven't won since.
Navy beat Notre Dame the first year.
Yeah. It's been close. It's been some very nerve-wracking games since then, but Notre Dame has ended up on the winning side in all but one.
So I do want to talk a little bit about what Notre Dame's thought, what I think they're thinking should be going to this game. But I do want to mention special teams for Navy. Their kickoff return game is pretty good. Definitely something, especially with kind of some of the breakdowns that we've had, that is a concern. I don't know if they've blocked any punts, but their return game is decent, their kickoff return game. And if I'd be them, I would be kicking punts shorter than expected every time. Problem is there probably won't be a whole lot of punts.
I was going to say, maybe there will be this week. If they watch Notre Dame's special team, maybe they will be punting.
On third and long, they'll just punt.
Yeah, Navy usually doesn't like to punt, but they might. That would be a good game plan with how Notre Dame's special teams has looked.
Brian Kelly was asked about the young players, especially in the secondary, freshmen, if they're going to be able to adapt or be able to play, since this is a different style of defense from what they've been working on. But like you said, they have been working on this for the last few weeks. And he said that he's not really worried, because even though it takes a different kind of discipline to play Navy, these young guys have shown that they can play sound and they're going to be disciplined in other areas. And he at least said he was confident in their ability. The question was asked, why has there been a lapse in the offense? And everyone knows about this, whether it's the Michigan State game, whether it's the Texas game or Stanford, and now it's just this past
week.
Just
stop. You're opening up old wounds.
And there was a few different answers. Troy Hunter said, you come out of the game, or you come out of the tunnel, and you're focused, and it's easier maybe to get into a rhythm, and then once you get off the field after a couple scores, it's kind of, they need to keep that focus and keep that rhythm. And I especially think that that can be the case if you're out for a couple possessions, like last week when there's a couple turnovers on special teams right in a row. I think that can definitely get you kind of mentally out of it. But it wasn't just Miami. It's been happening a lot this whole season. Personally, I think it's coaching. I think it's not having a plan for what the defense might be trying to do, or maybe it's trying to force something.
Not adjusting.
That isn't there.
Not adjusting.
So I'm not confident that is going to change against Navy, except that Navy is a really bad defense.
Yeah, they'll probably be able to get away with a little more in this game just because of the quality of defense that they're playing.
All right, so what should Notre Dame try to do in this week against Navy? I think we need to try to create as many possessions as possible. So, like we mentioned, defensively, try to stop the run at all costs, even if you give up big passing plays. And then on the offense, throw the ball downfield. This is not as athletic of a team as what we had against Miami. Take shots downfield and take chances to score on some big plays again, to get the ball back in our hands as many times as possible. The only concern there is that Navy can wear you down, and that there's no doubt in my mind about that. They can wear you down. But I'd still rather take that chance of Navy's offense wearing down our defense than to have too few possessions.
For a moment there, I thought I was talking to Kyle when you were talking about throwing the ball deep. But
well, this is against Navy.
Okay.
I don't think they'll be able. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
And especially because they're going to try to chew up the clock as much as possible, and we need to create as many possessions as we can. All right, that's really all I've got.
Well,
on offense anyway. There's a couple of things on defense.
I would say, you know, get some deep throws in there, but I do think the shorter passing game can be effective because they have their linebackers. They lost one against Air Force. Daniel Gonzalez got hurt against Air Force and is out. And then their middle linebacker, Micah Thomas, had a concussion against South Florida last week. And he is their leading tackler on the team. So it's still not sure. They're still not sure if he'll be able to play against Notre Dame. But if he is out, they're missing their leading tackler and one of their other starting linebackers. So I do think they'll be able to have success with the shorter passing game as well, which will open up the deep pass. And I just hope they mix it up. We haven't seen that. Either it's all short passes or all deep. Like, do a little of both. But I do think that if they're if Micah Thomas is out, they will try to exploit that and take advantage of that as much as possible, because that is something that they can game plan for, because they're planning before the game. He didn't get injured during the Notre Dame Navy game. He got injured before, so they can plan for that. But yeah, it hopefully they'll run the ball. I don't want the problem with scoring right away is that the defense, Notre Dame defense, will wear down. And so they're already having injuries with, you know, some of the guys are recovering from concussions, and here depth could be an issue against Navy because they wear you down.
I agree, but I don't want to take the chance that we have too few possessions to outscore Navy and that we actually lose the game then.
Yeah, but I agree with you, but I think that's going to be on the defense instead of the offense. Notre Dame just has to make sure that they score on every possession.
Pretty much. And this will be another test to see. And I know it's Navy. It is a different defense. And you could say it doesn't matter how Notre Dame does against Navy defensively, because as far as seeing if the defense is getting better. But I disagree, because they're on our schedule. And so is Army. And so we've got to be good against this option offense.
Yeah.
One other thing about the defense, we might see some more Nico Fertitta out there and possibly some more Avery Sebastian. And the other thing is, too, if there are more possessions and if Navy is, you know, chipping away, and we're not able to just to stop them after a few plays, then we'll probably continue to see a heavy rotation. I don't think it'll be heavier than normal, except that maybe more Nico and some Avery Sebastian. Other than that, I don't think we'll see more of a rotation on the defensive line or linebackers, except unless Cage isn't ready to go. We'll see some different guys then.
Yeah, I think this is where, you know, we saw last year where Tranquil and Greer Martini did very good against the triple option. So I think you'll see more of them. I'm guessing the starting lineup will be a little bit different than what normally is, just because they're putting guys in for this game. So we'll definitely see a lot of those guys, and I expect to hear their name quite a bit on Saturday.
All right, we didn't do this last few weeks, but let's just go through each position group and pick out a player that we're going to be watching for and something in particular to keep an eye on. Before we do that, I forgot to mention the what did I like, what did I hate from our recap podcast. Oh, and by the way, the last part of that podcast disappeared in the interwebs. I did upload the last half. It was about 16 to 20 minutes. So it is up there, and it's titled something like "Ending of Miami Notre Dame Recap Podcast." So you guys can listen to those last few minutes. And I don't know what happened to that. So where did I like? Where did I hate? The David Robinson sighting. I liked it that we only had it happen once this year. At least that was the first time I noticed it. So that's why I liked it. Where did I hate? NBC did not have the right font on the time, and they were completely missing the down and distance marker for a good portion of the first quarter. And I've got a serious complaint about NBC. They have Sunday Night Football on, and it's done incredibly well. It looks professional, the sets are awesome, and it all looks and feels great. I think they do a poor job on the Notre Dame games, comparing it to Sunday Night Football. And it doesn't have to be Sunday Night Football, but it could be a lot better.
Yeah, I haven't actually watched that many games on NBC this year. Been to quite a few of the home games, but hey, Notre Dame's having a losing season, so they're not making as much money off of them this year. Actually, they're probably making the same, but yeah, it is frustrating when they do that. I did see complaints on Twitter.
And then one correction from our recap podcast was Brian Kelly, when he was talking about having your feet in concrete, he was actually talking about on the kickoff return team, not the punter. The kickoff return guys, well, not the return person, but the team, the kickoff return team, they're supposed to have their feet in concrete until the ball is kicked and then turn and run.
Yeah, because I get one of the complaints with that was that...
was it Jalen Elliott?
Yeah, with the onside kick, is that they planned to do that because they saw that he was leaving early.
Yeah.
So.
All right, so each different position. Offensive line, McGovern's been out the last few weeks, hasn't been healthy, so I'm going to be keeping an eye on him, see how he does. Actually, you know what? I take that back. Sorry. Sam Mustipher. First off, it was struggling with snapping. He got called for holding, and he's the guy I'm going to be watching for. Can he just put together a consistent game, an error-free game?
Yeah, it's hard to go against that Sam Mustipher. But I'm going to be watching the left side, this dominating left side that can just do whatever they want in the preseason, that is. I just want to see what they're able to do against the undersized Navy team and see if we can get a running game going.
Tight ends. Luatua, curious. I'm going to keep an eye on Luatua.
Probably won't see him.
I don't have anything in particular. I just want to see if he gets on the field. That's all I'm watching for.
It's hard to pick a guy. I'm going to go with Smythe. These guys are basically non-existent. When they are, they seem to be. It's because they're making a mistake. But let's just play a mistake-free. Get some good blocks in there. Smythe had a good one last week. Hopefully he can build on that. You know, get a couple good blocks against this Navy team.
And then the running backs. Didn't see a whole lot of either either Dexter Williams or Tarian Folston. And I think the writing is on the wall with Tarian again. I know early on I was kind of a little bit down on him. Didn't think he had quite the explosiveness of the other two. And then against Stanford, he looked terrific. But I think part of that was because of where Josh Adams was at health-wise. And so I'm going to just watch Tarian Folston. How many carries does he get? Is he out more? Do they use him more in the passing game? Do they use him more on third and long for pass protection? So Tarian Folston.
I'm going to go with Dexter Williams just because watching the game live last week, you saw the times that where they did the read option, and a couple times Kaiser should have given it to Dexter Williams. And I'm sure that's something they worked on this week. After the one play, Kaiser hardly gained any yards, and Dexter Williams would have gained quite a few yards. And he was obviously upset. I mean, he was kind of jumping up and down, waving his hands. You know, after the play was over, mm-hmm. in frustration, because he knew that he could have got a bunch of yards on that play. So I definitely think it's something they worked on this week in practice as far as Kaiser and Dexter, you know, just those two working together. I think Dexter can have a little more success.
Wide receivers, I'm going to be watching Stepherson. He was targeted 5 or 6 times, had 2 catches for, he led the receivers, was it maybe 87 or so yards against Miami. So they do want to use him more. They do talk about his big play potential. And just going to see, do they continue to give him a good portion? He didn't get a majority of the targets. I think EQ and Torrey both had more targets. But just will he still be close to that as far as getting the attention from DeShone Kizer?
I'm going with EQ because I'm predicting a big game from him. I think he's going to get a lot of yards in this game.
All right, and then quarterback, nothing to do there. Do you want to start with the defense, the safeties?
Sure. I'm going to go with Tranquil because I think this is a very good fit for him. I think this is a game where he can have a lot of success stopping the run. It's his style of game. And so I think he's going to do very well in this game and rack up quite a few tackles.
I do love that pick, and that that's what I would have went with. But just to point one other one out, Avery Sebastian, this would be the kind of game where he could see some action. So just seeing if he gets out there and how often he gets out there. All right, and then at cornerback?
I'm going to go with, man, one of the young guys, basically just... All the young guys, Pride, Vaughn, Elliot, I think this is their, just to see how they respond, or sorry, not Elliot, Love, just to see how they play in their first game against a triple option. I'm sure they played against it in high school at some point, but it's not to the level of Navy.
I hope what Notre Dame does is focus on shutting down the run, leaving a lot of these guys on an island with a receiver. So I think Cole Luke's probably going to be definitely, if they do play fewer corner defensive backs and play more linebackers or have the safeties more in the box, Cole Luke's probably going to be out there one-on-one quite a bit. Just a hunch, don't really know for sure, just a hunch. So Cole Luke. All right, and then linebackers.
I'm still going to go with Greer Martini. Like I mentioned earlier, this is his type of game that he did very well in this last year. And if he's healthy to go, he should have a lot of success.
I'm going to go with James Onuwalu. He seems he's had kind of a quiet, last week was a little bit quieter, and so, keep an eye on him, see if he can make any explosive plays, get in the backfield, some TFLs, maybe get after the quarterback if we do force him into passing situations. And then the defensive line.
Man, it's... Not quite sure which one to go. I mean, Jerron Jones, see if he can build on his success, but I don't know how much if he'll play as much this game. I mean, he's a bigger guy. It seems that sometimes they want to play the other guys against this, the more mobile guys. I'm gonna go with Rochelle.
Okay, I'm gonna go with Jerron Jones. It is different team, but just, I mean, that looked like an NFL player that we saw last week. And so even if they don't use him as much when he is out there, and I mean, I'm assuming that he'll still be out there quite a bit.
Well, Brian Kelly mentioned that, the question was asked about how, if they'll be playing him a lot this week. And Brian Kelly said, well, hey, if he wants to be an NFL guy, he's got to know how to play against this as well. I mean, he's going to. Be successful in this if he's going to be successful in the NFL. But I think they will play more of a rotation. Makwa might be out there, Pete Makwa. And
is Micah Dutredway, is he healthy? Is he going to be
They're saying
back?
He could actually get some reps in this game.
Okay.
But I don't know for sure. I think they will have more of a rotation because they will be out there on the defense will be out on the field quite a bit.
All right, there we have it. I think we covered everything that we wanted to. Randall, do you know who was the winner from last week's score prediction? And if you don't have it, we can get it on the next podcast.
No, I don't. I got to stay.
Okay. We'll get that for you guys. You'll have that on one of the next two podcasts. And until then, go Irish.
Go Irish.